Father, we just thank you for the conversation you want us to have this morning. I ask that you do that which you want to do. And I ask that your name alone will be glorified in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to tell you something that, you know, two things happened today. And I don't know how we're going to get there, but I can tell you that there are three dimensions of what God wants to do today. There's already been a first dimension. My conversation with you will be a second dimension. And then Pastor is going to come and release the third dimension. What has happened here today is that God is going to say the same thing using the office of the priest, the king, and the prophet. So the priest have administered this morning, and they brought a message, and I come in as a king to bring the same message, and Pastor is just going to round it up, and so you will have the fullness of the David architecture in place this morning, and I'll tell you why. If I have never doubted that God is here. I've never in my mind. I mean, ever since the first day I came here, I always knew that God was here. There's never been a time that, I come here or I engage here that I believe that God is not here. It has never happened to me. But what happened to me this morning is just when God gives you like a sucker punch that just wants to, open your head and say, this thing is reality. I got that this morning from church. I can tell you, when I was having a conversation with God and saying, so what are we saying? He told me what he wanted me to speak about. And I was arguing with him that, yes, it ties with the theme that they want me to speak about based from an angle. But it's not that in its entirety. It doesn't look like that in appearance, but eventually it ties into it. So as I was having that thought and still having a narrative with the Father, so how do we go about that? How do I link that thing into this way? I walk into church, and this amazing young lady that took worship this morning just decides to birth two songs that just explains the assignment I've been given this morning in literal word terms. I kid you not. The words of the song, the office that God wanted, what I believe God wants to do this morning, those two songs that we just birthed this morning are exactly, literally, word for word, what God has sent me to do today. And as I sat down there, he said to me, it's going to be that priest, king, and prophetic that's going to happen this morning. So if you came to church just because you came to church, today is not that day. If you came to church because you just want to come and have a good time, today is not that day. So I need you keyed in as much as possible, because that Ominira today is a punchline I want you to hold on to. And I think that is instructive by the power of the Holy Spirit for Sheyi to share this testimony, for it to be an anchor where whatever it is and however it is in any area of your life, you need to hang on to that word you just heard. I know that Ominira will come today in that dimension. And I kid you not. I feel isolated here as usual. So let me just come down and just connect with lovely people. Again, I just want to thank you guys for allowing me feel at home as much. I'm not so close to as many of you. And I think it's time. It's not as if I'm posting or anything. I'm just getting to meet people gradually. But the few of you that I banter with and catch fun with, you guys just make life beautiful for me. Yes, you do. And if you don't mind, I just want to thank one person for just really going beyond the mile, and that's Dulcie. She just you know I love you plenty. You know I do. Thank you for accepting me for who I am. Thank you so much. All right, so it's a journey I can relate to, but the way God is teaching it to me is my life, and I'm looking at my life from outside, and I can track people, and I can track, I'm tracking gradually. I don't know everything, but I'm tracking how God is bringing us back to the original design, but we're probably not going in the routes that we think we're going. The one thing I can track is the fact that the enemy has so carefully ensured that our eyes have been taken off the original design, and we are so gladly suffered foolhardy and concentrate on the non-essentials, but leave the very core of the narrative. And for as long as your eyes are not on the core narrative, the enemy is glad for you to dance around circles for as long as you can. The one thing that the enemy has been able to design around us is to take our eyes off the very core of the reason why Christ came in the first place. And it's the power of religion. And when we say the power of religion, we really don't in many terms understand what we're saying, but we have an idea of what we think the effect is. You see, the whole essence of Christ coming into your life is to, for lack of a better word, overthrow a government. And until you see it from that perspective, you will miss the bigger picture. The whole essence of Christ coming into your life is to disrupt a previous system and a previous narrative that runs your life and to take over the entire space. Because before, when God made Adam and Eve, the narrative was very simple. And I know almost everywhere you go, everybody runs, you know, Genesis 1, 26, 27 for you. But somewhere along the line, the enemy has been able to convince us to discard what the original plan is and then to hold on to something that makes absolutely no sense. Because when we look at the world around us, and I'm not just talking about your life, I'm talking about the entire thing, you can see that in the very core area where it matters most, we have been distracted by the enemy, and that is the area of life that we lack capacity the most. And once you lack capacity in that area of life, you are at the mercy of whoever has held capacity and is able to wield it. So prior to Christ meeting you, there is an agenda that is running in your life, either consciously or subconsciously, that literally is running the choices that you make, the perspective, how you see life, where you can go, how you can go. And a lot of times, what makes it very dangerous is that it's subconscious. So it's sabotaging you and it's not taking your permission. Why? It is a system that has begun to run the entirety of who you are, either consciously or subconsciously. And what it does basically is that it is making choices for you, telling you what is possible and what is not possible, and you're not even aware of it. Why? Because somewhere along the line, when Adam and Eve lost dominion and lost power and lost the ability to manage resource and stuff, everything kind of shut down. So God had to move to plan B, but plan B was never the original design. So Christ coming into earth, the whole conversation is to bring us back to the original design, where man can come into that dimension where he sees himself as a co-creator with God and imbued with the capacity to have power, to have dominion, and to live in a God class of life where you're literally a co-creator with God and you understand that your life is God in counsel. The contention of the two messages we listen to today between religion and the kingdom is that one is trying to tell you and convince you that you have been created in the God class of existence, and one is trying to tell you that God is too insecure to give you that place. God, if you get to know him, is so full of love that he gives. And what makes him God is that he has no other agenda than to love. So the reason why Christ will say, greater works than I did you will do, is because you are talking to a God who is so secure, he can share stuff with you. So whatever you become and whatever you achieve in life does not threaten heaven.
If you raise the dead every day, we're having a party in heaven and we're happy for you. Because at no point in time will you stop doing that and come and take over our job. Why? We are dealing with a bigger narrative than you will ever deal with. But you are a part of that conversation. So what you do on earth is not the narrative for us. As long as you are in alignment with what we are saying, we're fine. We can give you territories and give you more space. And that's why we gave you the understanding that you will disciple nations and we have no problem with it. So if you understand that the Father who has made you is all power in himself and he has given you power in that dimension, then you would just accept who we have said you are and not continue to argue and form humility like people like us do. But the problem is the fact that we have not been schooled in the dimension and the areas of governance and power. So at the end of the day, that is what makes the whole idea of being a son a problem for us. One of the greatest problems they had with him was he said, "Me and my father are one." Because in the Jewish translation, you have just said you are the father. And the problem they had with him was that you cannot be the father. Meanwhile, the original plan was for always for him to be the father. Because the father was secure enough to give him. And then he ascends and he says, "We are seated together with him. We have conjoined hairs." And we humanity have a problem with that narrative. Why? Because religion has consistently over time deprogrammed us from seeing ourselves the way God sees us. And then we have left capacity where it matters most, governance and power. My brother, Apostle Ernest Paul, came here a couple of months ago and looked at us and said that the way we have managed the earth shows that we are doing well. He said 98% of biodiversity is gone and we're clapping for ourselves. When God put Adam and Eve in the garden and said, "Tend it and keep it," what he said was that create a system of management, create a system of governance and power to run this narrative. And until they gave up that stuff, you could see the kind of an idea of the dimension, because we hear that Adam was able to either impute nature and name to animals, or he was able to identify the nature and give name. That is not tiny capacity. That is huge capacity. And then we are told that when Christ came back into the earth, the idea was to return us to that capacity. You might shake your head, but you might not understand what I'm saying. So I go back to my first thought. You must understand that once you are unable, when God is not able to run the system of your life, when you do not allow God to overthrow everything and take over the system of your life, we have a problem. Why? Because you will never learn governance. And for as long as you never learn governance, you do not understand the dynamics of power. And for as long as you don't understand the dynamics of power, the person who understands the dynamics is ruling you. That is why we so gladly allow Jesus Christ to be Lord over our spirits, but forgetting that there's something called soul and body. The intention is not for us to share space with the enemy. The intention is for us to leave no space. That's why Christ came this morning with, Alagbara today. The whole idea of God walking in here this morning is to wrestle power by his mercy from some of us who come into a building like this and still go home and the enemy literally detects the realities of your life. Once you drop the ball in power and governance, you are at the mercy of the person you have given it to. So even if you have intentions, you are not schooled in the capacity to govern. So the enemy gladly sold the second generation church a lie that, occupy till I come is not the narrative, but that he's supposed to be running somewhere. So they intentionally left up the governance of life. Because the person that you are dealing with has seen you and has a problem with the fact that if we allow you to rule and reign in the capacity and dimension that God has shown you, it's game over. Because God did not withhold from you the most powerful force on earth to make that happen, His Excellency the Holy Spirit. That is all we need to take over this entire world for the kingdom. To disciple for Christ, that's exactly what it is. But what have we done? Just like we have allowed the enemy to latch on to 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90% of whatever our life is all about, it's the same way we've allowed that reality to be in the world that we live around. I don't know if you're tracking me this morning. You cannot, Jesus cannot be the Lord of your life and somebody else picks your culture. Jesus Christ cannot be Lord of your life and somebody else picks the ideology by which you think. Yeah. The issue here is that by mind architecture, you are gone. Because how you think and why you think and the perspective from which you think, it is the person that shapes that narrative that literally shapes your life. So if your lifelong desire is not to come into a place where the kingdom literally shapes you from the place of thought to imagination and to execution, you are literally in trouble. Because it is the person that can mark you or take you on that journey is the person that picks your options and picks your life. So the enemy is glad for you to come into a place like this and dance and sing and have a good time and roll on the floor. But for as long as he picks your choices, for as long as he governs your thought process, for as long as he picks what you wear, for as long as he tells you where to go, for as long as he determines your entertainment, guess what? The government is not on your shoulder. So can you link the songs now? Because what I came to say to you this morning is that you need to come into the kingdom and not be around the kingdom. Because at the end of the day, if we do not take you on a journey of teaching you governance, and we do not help you as a church to go through a phase where the enemy literally loses grip over you, then we're just coming here to catch fun. Because what we needed to do is for internal self-government by the Holy Spirit, and then everything around you enters into that reality. The issue of the kingdom of God just means the governing influence of God. It means that the realm and the dimension in which God rules everything. God doesn't like to share space with the enemy. It's the enemy that likes to share space. Why? Because once the enemy can infiltrate, he has what he's looking for. When you want to take over kingdoms or when you want to shape government, both sides do it the same way. It's called infiltrate and take over. So that's why it is yeast. When yeast comes into dough, he doesn't want to stay in one place. It needs to go around dough. Yeah. So the enemy lie puts us into a place where we want the dough to do 30, 40, 50%. The yeast do 30, 40% of the dough. You won't get bread. If it doesn't go to everything, then it hasn't done its job. It's like the two women that came in front of Solomon, and one said, cut the baby into two, and the other one said, no, give it entirely to her. What am I trying to say? In the kingdom, if we don't have the totality of you, it's failure. I'm going to allow that sing for a little while. If in the kingdom, we don't own you spirit, soul, and body, it's not pass mark for us. For the enemy, it's pass mark. Why? It's infiltrate. As long as I can take one place, I'm fine. I can work with that one place. I can manipulate this person in that one place. I can leave this weakness here so that you're here. And then when I take over this place, I can decide that I want to expand into that place. So that is why we don't give in 0.1%. Why? Because that is failure in the realm of the kingdom. So when we look at even the way we run our lives in its entirety, we can see that we're not really doing a fantastic job. Can I tell you what the original design is? God expected in the real reality, if you want to take over a land for Christ, if you want to do missions or whatever it is, you do what you call spiritual mapping. You go into there and you find out who are the people. What are the spirits that run this place? What is the manifestations that you see here? What is normal amongst these people? Is it promiscuity? Is it what? Is it death? Is it whatever it is? You map. Then you the prophetic comes and tells you what you call the prophetic action. Where? What do you touch? What do you do? The prophets are the ones who give us the blueprint. This is how God wants to get into this land. You know, so they tell us how, you know, we should get into that land. These are the altars. These are the spirits you should fight with. This is the that. So when the prayer team is coming and the worship team is coming, they are following a script by the prophetic. It's just the way it is. Then when we've done that, the apostles are the ones who ensure the implementation. Apostles are system people. They want to know the governing influence in a place. They want to know what system runs in. Them and the prophetic, they change the government. So one gives the blueprint, one and puts a system in place to implement and comes with that governmental grace. That's the government guy from our side. It's not just a title that people use. That's the governmental grace. That's the one that has the capacity and anointing to be able to say, you know, we are shifting stuff. And then when they are done with that, the other three guys come to do what? Shape culture, change systems, and do everything. So the pastor, the evangelist, and the teacher are the ones who bring this government there. So whatever you have dislodged the enemy, and then the system of the kingdom you bring, it's the pastor, it's the evangelist, and it's the teacher that now make sure that the culture has changed into the culture of the kingdom that you brought. So that is the whole message of the seven mountains, eight mountains, whatever it is. The issue is that's what you do. But what do we do in Christianity? We come with the prophet, we come with the apostle, we change over the stuff, and then we leave space. We don't shape the culture, we don't shape the media, we don't shape the education, we don't shape anything. So we leave the system in place the way it is. And what do you get? The system resists whatever you have brought in the dimension. Why? You did not work it into the dough. So as long as you don't work it into the dough, all you have done is that you have a realm in the spirit. But as long as the soul and the body do not confine, and the realm of the mind, and you do not enter into what we call the salvation of the soul, guess what? The real person in power is the guy who runs those two things. So yes, you have gotten his spirit born again, but you have not extended that rulership to his soul and his body. And for as long as you do, have not shaped his culture and his reality and his ideology and his thought pattern, the person who shaped that is Lord. Can I say that that is exactly the reality of your life? So for as long as you are not intentionally dislodging the enemy from every nook and cranny of your life, you have left space for the enemy to decide what's happening to you and where you're going. You lack, and we lack in the kingdom, the understanding of power, the dynamics, and the reality of governance. The authority, the approval that God has given you to be able to declare the word of God over your life and intention is where we drop the ball. But it's the person who picks up that authority that determines what happens in your life. I know it's a boring subject, but we have to have this conversation. Jesus cannot be king and lord of your life, and you are doing treason by worshiping something else. Everything hinges on the first commandment. Thou shalt not have any other either graven invisible, internal thing, person, anything. Once we break that number one narrative, it's game over. Because God will not share that space. God is not designed to share that space. You are not designed to share that space. So the problem that causes dysfunction is that we have two systems always running within us. Dysfunction is when you are running a different system aside from the original system you are created with. And all you need for your life to go the other way is for the enemy to introduce a different system. And for as long as the enemy introduces a different system, it's game over. In the way things work, everything we teach you, everything we say to you, everything pastor will say to you and always say to you and will always say to you is just one thing. We need you in alignment with God. We need you in obedience with God. We need you in surrender with God. We need you in sync with God. We need you to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's as simple as that. No matter what one pastor wants to preach, one drama they want to say, whatever they want to say, everything still comes down to the issues of, are you in alignment? Are you in obedience? Are you in surrender? Is your entire life under the narrative of the Holy Spirit? That becomes the conversation that we're having. If that is not the conversation, then it's game over. We did not come here to play. We came here to follow instructions of the king and then to execute. The problem is, if God is the Lord of your life and you are taking instructions and command from another kingdom, then we have a problem. So another kingdom picks how you think. Another system picks what you wear. Another system picks how you treat people. Another system picks. So the problem is, that is not the narrative. We came that we may have you spirit, soul, and body. Why? In the first place, we created you to have spirit, soul, and body. So when we are not in control of that dynamics, it's game over. Or that's not the plan. So what we need to do is to sit down and literally rework ourselves into the place where we understand the dynamics of governance and we understand the dynamics of power. That's why he says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. It is not a suggestion. It is not, it might be done. He said, it will be done. That's how the kingdom works for us. We don't share space with the enemy. We come and we throw him out. That's the what happened in heaven. He woke up in heaven and wanted to become like us. We throw idiots like that out. There's only one space for one king. We call him His Excellency all by himself. And there will always be only one space for one king. And some of us don't want to have two. So we're sitting down in our lives and asking ourselves, is Christ really king in himself? So you look at the words we were singing this morning, Allah Akbar today, that's where the power is. But we lose the power conversation over our life. Why? Because we don't understand the dynamics that the person who wields the power is the one that tells you where it goes. That's why we can allow clowns to be the people that run our politics and we cry. So even though the body of Christ is blessed with excellent people, we have abandoned politics. And even the whole mention of the fact that politics is a dirty game shows that we are ignorant children of a father who is just having mercy. Because the instruction was very clear. You guys occupy till I come. So going into the narrative that the Father wants us to have this morning, the reason why you break on tough times, the reason why you don't have capacity to be able to stay strong is that you have invited a different spirit to run your life and it has so much power over you, you do not have what it takes to run. It's as simple as that. The things we all face in life is the different government that we have introduced and allowed to run things within and external. So it is an agenda that is running not according to the agenda of God. So we have to stretch and what? Engage in battle and engage in combat. Yes, when we overcome, we build capacity from it. But then the conversation there is that in the context of occupying and then maintaining something, there needs to be that internal contention. And the plan is for you to live and to think from victory and to maintain something. So Christ came and gave you a victory. The issue is that you maintain. That maintain is what we are saying. But you must maintain from a mindset of, I am in charge here, we have victory over here, and we're not giving space. Yes, so when the enemy brings a different narrative into your life, you hold your ground and say, there's no space here. Yeah. But the reason why we break like a pack of cards is because we never built the capacity to understand that we refuse to give ground. That my home is not open for grabs. That my children are not open for grabs. Yeah. That my health is not open for grabs. That we run here and we stay here, and this becomes the narrative of our lives. So when we snatch stuff from the enemy, we let him know where the power is, and it always has been. So when we have times of contention with the enemy, we obviously are not going to roll on the floor and give it to you, because it has been given to us. You see, those things sound like fairy tales. Why? And your generation has a problem with us and with the generations that came above us, because we share this concept with you, but our lives speak something different. Because you've looked at us and asked us, if God gave all this power and all this dimension to us as Christians, why is the world like this? And most of the times we can't answer you. Why? Because to know something as a concept is different from living it in its reality. And like I said, what we did was to bundle ourselves in a building on Sundays and allow the enemy to run every other thing. Because why? The enemy understands governance and we don't. Because somewhere in the back of your mind, somebody is still trying to convince you are not the son of the father. So we begin to design limitations for you that the father has not designed for you. So we have not built a culture of a community of David who are literally slaying giants around the whole place. So who is this uncircumcised Philistine? How can we give power to this huge guy? When they sent the 12 spies into the place, two came back and said, let's have these guys for lunch. Some guys, we came, we can't go in. Why? You've not been told about power and governance. The day you come into an understanding of power and governance, you won't want the enemy to rule one square of your life. So you look at the world around you and someone, your mind is not your business. Trust me, it's your business. You will answer for the fact that he said the earth they've given to the sons of men. We quote those scriptures, but we really don't understand them. Can we be honest enough to say we don't understand some things? Because understanding means you would implement. Yes. And if you refuse to implement or you do not know it, then we're ignorant. Can we be honest enough to just say, God, can you re-explain this narrative? I was having this conversation in Balagu recently, and I was saying that the enemy should not come into our home and run stuff. All this marriage counseling we do, plenty, it just means we don't understand what this is. Because if you understand what it is, we bring ourselves into alignment under the honor of God. So the husband is bringing alignment, the wife is bringing alignment. Because you must understand the bigger narrative is that God needs to be king here. So all of us go through whatever internal changes we need to go through to be in alignment with God. And we keep allowing the Holy Spirit and God to take more space. So all it just comes to do in your life is to say, I need this space, repent here. 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 This is not supposed to be the order. Can you change? Can you go and beg your wife and make this? Can you go and submit to your husband? I need you to spend money like this. It's just instructions. Yes. You know what it is? It's just instructions. Yes, but the reason why you are, you know, contending is the fact that you don't understand governance. Yes. So it's convenient for you to call Jesus Christ Abba Tadeo, but you really don't know what that Abba is. Do you know the problem we're having? Can I be honest with you? One of the problems we're having is that you live in a democracy. And a lot of times you think that our boss, His Excellency, should be democratic. That your feelings are issues and your emotions are issues. And that, you know, if he can just sit down with you, you know, he needs to come into an understanding of how you really feel on this matter and the reason why you should really give this matter up. So heaven is looking at you and saying, who is this guy's pastor? Do we flog him first or do we flog her first? What is this guy saying? That we come into alignment with you? You didn't read the Bible at all? That his kingdom come, his will be done on earth, and our will is for this home to be a reflection of the kingdom. What part of that memo did you not get? So you begin to make internal adjustments. It's called internal self-government. You begin to allow the Holy Spirit to literally be Lord over your life because that was the game plan from day one. You can't surrender to the Holy Spirit and you're clapping for yourself. That is the default position. It is the default arrangement. That is how it works. You don't come into democracy and you don't do that jungle thing you guys do on Twitter and social media that you have an opinion with who? Because I come from a royal family, I have small sense. When the king talks, he talks. That's why they call him KBOC. Kings don't talk and you say you have opinion. It's not these kings that politicians install. I mean, kings in their... The ones that have come, when they speak, they have not born you. But somewhere along the line, we live in a time and religion has made us bring our own ideas and perspective into the narrative. We refuse to understand that he is Lord over all things. And when you call somebody Lord, it means owner. And if he's owner of your life, I think owners decide what happens to what is owned. And the owned does not say to the owner, hello, excuse me. So, and it shows that the enemy is building a culture of resistance and self, and God is building a culture of love and surrender, and the two don't match. So, but from what you watch, from what you see, from the examples you glorify, from the things that you exalt and everything, there are systems that are not built in alignment with the governance of God. And for as long as that is the operating system that runs your life, we're not going to have anything. So the question is, what is the operating system of your life? You guys use that word. What is the OS? But you don't understand how powerful an OS is. An OS is always running. An OS is running an agenda subconsciously. It is not conscious. It is picking choices. It is running stuff. And because it has been crafted, you cannot get it to do outside the context of the narrative. So for as long as the enemy is the one that is running the OS in your life, God will just continue to shout for money tonight. It's not going to happen until you change the OS. So what we are here to do this morning is serious business. And I'm choosing not to shout and run because I don't want you to miss the conversation. I've not come to say to you a suggestion. I've come to say to you, this is how the kingdom works.
Yes, sir.
So they tell Bawale, please write it down. Fully furnished plot in Ojodu. We did not ask you how it's going to happen. That is how we talk in the kingdom. We tell you where we are going. You are the one that aligns.
Yes.
But the issue is that you are so much earthly conscious. Why? Because your entire life is at the mercy of an earthly system. So what you need to do basically is to go back into your life and hand over every nook and cranny of your space to God, is what I've come to say to you. That Ominira has come.
Yes, sir.
And when they say Alagbara today, you see, you guys, we just watch films. And somewhere in these films we watch, you are on the conversation. If you watch those, I love to watch epics. Epics give you an idea of the conversation. When they say Achilles is here, you know what I'm saying? When they say Achilles is here, you know what happens? Uh-huh. That's how they're configured to be built. They just come and you see them confident, you see them no fear, and you see them looking like, okay. And you're asking yourself, I mean, that particular one was very upsetting. You know, like huge guy they brought in the middle when they brought him out from the tent, and then the guy was just showing around the whole place. And then he just jumps, slits the guy, and just walks away. Is that cheap to take the enemy out?
Yes,
when you understand governance?
Yes,
that we are not sharing space here.
Yes.
That we are not shifting ground here.
Yes.
That within me, this is the law that we work with. This is the operating system, this is the governing influence of my life. Devil, there's no space here. You can't take me, you can't take my home, you can't take my children, and then you enforce that by what you watch, where you go, what you think, what you wear, because that's where the missing link is. Somebody else is running your soul and your body when you come to church and dance. So you cannot be a consumer-driven community of kingdom people. That is the problem. You know, we're a consuming community of kingdom-minded people. Somebody else narrates, why should I wear that jeans? Can't I make one for myself? We keep shouting, the kind of clothes that are making nowadays are making it difficult for married women to be responsible. Did they tie your hand? Did they tie your hand? Can you not come together and create your own fashion? Can you not come together and create your own school? Can you not come together and create your own media? Did somebody tie your hand? Because for as long as somebody is showing you how to dress, what you wear, you are at the mercy of that person. And you can shout for money tonight. Guess who is Lord over your life? Whoever picks your choices is the conversation. So we didn't come to play. Can you hear what I'm saying? Yeah. We didn't come to play. Yeah. We didn't come here to leave our own suggestion. This is not a democracy. Yeah. God is a monarch. He must sink into your subconscious. He's a king. He's not asking to be voted for. Yeah. We don't vote here. Yeah. If you don't want to be part of us, you can go. We are fine here.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem Jesus being king over my life. Hear me very well. I don't have a problem Jesus Christ being king over my life. I don't have a problem God waking me up and say, don't go to that place. I'm not trying to impress you. I'm not looking for significance. I'm fine. Can I tell you where the problem is?
Yes, sir.
The problem is significance. You have been wired to look for significance outside God. You know, you preached that 2 weeks ago. That's it. You have been wired to look for significance outside God and in your performance.
Yeah.
It just knocks your head sideways to believe that God loves you the way you are, period, and you don't need to do anything.
Yeah.
Why? Because you are in a world where you have been told you have to perform to be loved. In our own kingdom, we love you the way you are.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We are tripping for you the way you are. You are beautiful the way you are. Either you pose or you don't pose, we just like you. You are just awesome to us. And you will continue to be awesome to us. Why? Because the greater one lives on the inside of you. And it's just the way it is. This is one place you cannot come and perform. And say, I like the way I just looking. I like that you're gay. It just fits you. Somebody else trying to do this, it might not work. So you don't like you look like her for me to like you. I like you by default. Why? My condition says I must love you the way you are. It is the way God has loved me that I love you. So why do I love you the way I love you? If you know things about me, auntie, you won't allow me to hold this mic. And yes, God gives me grace to hold this mic. So when I look at who I am that God has forgiven, no matter what I see in you now, I must forgive her. So we need to create a community where people are loved deeply and irreversibly blessed. I was saying that last week when I was somewhere with Lucy. So we need to create an environment around you where you know that once you wake up in the morning, everybody in GCC is saying to you, you're an awesome guy.
Yes.
Either we tell you or not. And we have it.
Yes.
That is one of the things that brought Eshe here to say, everybody here just wants to get in my space and tell me I'm good, I'm fine, they're just, you know, just feeling me. Why? We must feel you. It's the kingdom.
Yes.
Papi is not the only superstar here. All of you here are the superstars here.
Yeah.
I'm not lying to you. Everybody here is you are it. You make the things run. The guys who handle the camera, the guys who play the music, you guys make everything come together. And you don't have to be like Papi for us to love you. There are things you do to help Papi that he doesn't know. For everybody you encourage, you're helping Papi. To create a community of kingdom-minded people. For everybody you give transport, he doesn't hear, you are helping him. For everybody you give clothes, you don't tell him. It is you are creating the foot legs, the foot soldiers to say. He stands here and talks about the love we have. For everybody you love behind his back, for everybody you help behind his back, it makes what he's saying make sense. The person who goes up and comes back here and gets deliverance is not doing it alone based on the word he spoke. It is because somebody gave him a smile. Somebody helped him to get a job. Somebody kissed him. Somebody said something to him. Somebody loved him. Somebody made him feel special. When all that comes together in harmony, we have people who come here deeply loved and irreversibly blessed. That's why I love this place. Everybody that comes here has swagger. It's just what it is. I'm telling you. Yeah. My pastor just come and just does that, you know. We are running things here, you know. The ladies come here and they adjust them. Say, why? That's the power of love. It drunks you. You're not competing to get something that's been given to you by grace. It is the world that wants you to trend before they like you. We are liking you either you trend or you are not trending. She knows I like to carry her baby before I go home every day. The girl is just cute. So how can she alone be carrying such a cute baby? So I'm using the girl to prophesy into how I want my grandchildren to look like. It's just life. It's like a drug for me. If I'm not carrying the baby, I've not gone home. Why? It's just one of the joys I have of being in a community where I'm just loved. And universally blessed, just loved. That love is the operating system that we must bring. Nobody must come here to perform. Let me say this to you. You know I'm not the pastor of the church, but I'm an elder. You must not make anybody in this church feel less or not loved. We will fight you. I must not catch you look down on somebody. I must not catch you pose for somebody in this place. It is not approved behavior. Everybody here must feel loved. Everybody is special, either they hold the mic or not. And the ones who don't hold the mic are as special as those who hold the mic.
Yes. Awesome.
The guys at the car park are wonderful people. If they're not there, stuff will happen. So that becomes the operating narrative by which we live. So again, before I lose track of the narrative, you see, your life must be under the governance of the Holy Spirit. And you must refuse to give space. It was when I went into fashion that I started speaking. So the music must be kingdom. The parties you have must be kingdom. The education you have must be kingdom. Pastor knows I'm just using style to let him know that our school, we must build it. From pre to primary. We must structure them. You know? Those are the... Because when somebody else shapes the school your children go to, they will come and ask you in primary four, you say God made, animal. No, my teacher said it's evolution. Those of us who have children in that age have answered that question. At some point, your children come and they tell you that one Charles Darwin was smoking something one time and said that, yes, he was smoking something, that we came from homo what? When the Bible said that I'm made in the image and the likeness of God. Somebody is telling me that I'm... It's because they're the ones who build the system and you guys don't know how to build systems. You see, once you lack governance, you will know how to build system. The whole idea about system is being able to build a governing system around something. That's why he said tend and keep. That was what he was saying. The garden is there, but for it to produce more and to be, you need to tend and to keep it. That tending and keeping is the government system of running that garden. And that's why he said, I give you authority. I give you dominion over the birds of the sea and everything. You become the person that creates the system that runs everything. And because we as Christians, with all due respect, are not systems people, are not governance people, is the enemy who has built proficiency to run those things, and that's why we are at the mercy of whatever he throws out. Forgetting that you become what you see consistently and what you hear consistently. So again, it's just simple. Whoever shapes your narrative is Lord over your life. So you can come to church and sing for money tonight, but if you are going to be singing one music, if you are going to be dancing in one particular way, let's not go there. So we can't continue to hear this message and we are not hitting the ground running. So I need you to begin to look at your life and begin to tell yourself, in what areas are you realigning and reshaping? Because the enemy must not have a foothold. We're probably going to go back to that song, Alagbara Tide and Ominira Tide, because for every area of your life, that is why we come here and start breaking addictions. Something has built over time. Something has conditioned you over time. In my space, when we look at the conversations and the issues that myself and Papi has, everybody has been conditioned. This is the way to do life. If you do something outside there, people will give you five hands and do stuff. Why? Because it is expected for somebody to give you five hands. And you are asking yourself, what taught them? How did they come to that understanding? The totality of society decided to educate you in a particular pattern. And that particular pattern will give you issues with God. Why? Because it is very much against the order of thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul. And you can normally love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yes, sir.
It is because you don't understand that scripture that you scam people, that you use people. Is a law of the kingdom. You shall love your neighbor as you have come to love yourself.
Yes,
Your significance is not in people. It is in you. It is in who God has made you. When you come from that love of understanding that God loves you irrespective, that nothing you will do today or tomorrow will make God love you more. It will make you rest and not live from performance, but live from rest. But the world wants you to live from performance. And once you start performing, there's a problem. You are not in your natural elements. God made you to live and function from love. That's why people must create love around you. And you also, if they don't create it, Jesus Christ said that I am, you guys will go, but I'm not alone. Yeah. I am never alone. I was never alone. So at every point in time, the Father is with me.
Yes.
So technically, you are never alone.
Yes, sir.
So there's nothing called you are outnumbered.
Yes.
Or there's nothing called that you are looking for help.
Yes.
As long as you can open your mouth and the Holy Spirit is with you,
yes,
there's already a majority beside you.
Yes,
you are a living community.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying? You are a moving, living community. Either there's somebody with you or not, there's somebody who is greater who lives within you. So at any point in time, you are two. At any point in time, you are two. You are never one. As I'm looking at you, the greater one lives on this. I think we're imagining here. So at no point do you feel outnumbered or do you feel alone? How can you feel alone when God is with you, in you, around you? That what happened? You see that, and the funny thing is that, you know, when some people know some of this truth, you start saying that they are proud. How can somebody like me, I won't walk the way I walk? Is he being, is here, is over, is everywhere and everything. So I wake up in the morning like a king that I am, and I walk with that mentality that won't be I worry. And that's why I can say some of things I'm saying. When God gave us the idea to create a Christian entertainment channel, we just had to make sure he was done. I went through hell and high water. I went through discouragement. But it is done. We have done it. Why? Because God was always the one with us. People say it was impossible, but we've done it. It's God. Now we are building a children's channel. We are going to build it to the glory of God. It's done. Why? God is with him. The number one conversation you must live your life on, God is with me. What made David who he was? God was with him. What made Abraham who they was? God was not. So at no point were they out of, they did not feel, what made Noah build something for 120 years and was not frustrated and kept building? Why? The person who gave him the job was always in conversation with him. So when you live your life from that perspective, why? Because God is in and with you and working with you, in you, to do of his good pleasure. So, what is the problem? Eli, pay 1,000 inside here. And which is the issue? Why influence happens to you? They bring something and you want to enter into it because there are plenty there. If there can be 1 billion. As long as Baba say we are staying here, we are staying here. So the problem is that we don't understand how to live from the realm of the spirit. You pick your cues and your innuendos and your quotes from what the world is saying. So what does it take for you to trend? Did they tell you they wanted you to trend that way? Number one. Then number two. Okay, let's stay there for a while. Did they tell you they wanted you to trend that way? One question. So you have to answer. Then number two, if they did not want you to trend that way, then you need to stay back and hear where they want you to trend. And then how they want you to trend. Again, Bowale just wrote Ojodu fully furnished. He did not know how, and he did not know where it would be. But today is a reality. That's how it works.
Yeah.
And when you are having that meeting, there are only two of them. That's all they need.
Wow.
I hope you are listening to me.
Yeah.
I really did not want to come and just, I can't even preach an exciting message anyway. Why? Because we are beginning to see that our head was not correct before. And we cannot pass that madness to this generation. You know, we can be dancing in what we were built called Kuriakos, not Ecclesia. Story for another day. Because a Kuriakos is not an Ecclesia. Another day we'll say that. They have the same root word, but they're not the same. The two of them can mean church, but the two of them don't mean the same thing. When Jesus was on earth, he said, I will build an Ecclesia. What we are building now is called a Kuriakos. You can do your research. It means the gathering. It means they call them, they belong to God. you know, they belong to God. They identified with God. That's the meaning of a Kuriakos. And it can also mean a liturgic gathering of people. Meanwhile, an ecclesia is a community of administrative and politically minded people who are administering an entire place. It's an ecclesia they sent us to be, not a Kuriakos. Digression. Let's just have that thought somewhere. So, and then an ecclesia is the one that is governmental in its mind. Because it was gotten from the Greek and the Athenians when they used to gather themselves to make laws for a place. That's why he said, like a senate. And senate, what do? They pass laws and they enforce the laws. So already by design, what we have created that we call people in a building is not the same. So that is why one has a governmental mind, the other one just wants to catch fun and be identified with Christ. So somebody else can run your life, but just want to identify with Christ. Meanwhile, the other person is built to ensure that the agenda of the kingdom is what happens in every space. So by definition, we have a problem. Because what most of us are doing is a Kuriakos and not an ecclesia. You can check the words. So, we go back to that conversation. What I'm trying to say to you is that when you are born into this world, you are born in sin because the enemy had taken over the systems. The enemy had taken from Adam the dominion and the systems of this world, and he had begun to run it. So from that time on, people started doing all sorts of mad things. People started killing people, doing crazy things, and blah, blah, blah. So that had built systems, structures, cultures over the years. And that was not the game plan. That was why God took the Israelites and wanted to use them as a micro design of what it is. If you go to the Old Testament, that was why he was giving them culture. You shall not treat this person this way. If this happened, and it was in detail, if somebody mistakenly kill somebody, there's a place of mercy. If you do this, you shall not do this. You know, he was talking about every nook and cranny of their lives. He gave them culture. This is the culture that pervades here. This is the narrative here. And then when Christ came, the whole idea why Christ came when he came was to be able to now do what? Restructure everything back to the day one so that we now come in that understanding and begin to shift the systems. Why? Because it's the systems that shape the dynamics. Psalm 24 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the worlds and they that dwell therein. There's a difference between the earth and the worlds. The world is not the physical earth. The worlds are the systems. So the earth is the natural resources and talent you see. It is the system that shapes the world. So you can have crude, but somebody needs to refine it. You can have an athlete, but somebody needs to create a management system around it. So it is the person who owns the system that runs the conversation. So where we have missed it in church is that we have the talents, but the enemy is the one creating systems. And whoever is creating systems is the one that has governance in their hands. And whoever has governance is the one that has power in their hands. So, the first narrative that God gave to us when he made us was have dominion, have power, run governance. Question, where did we drop that ball? How did the enemy make that word power dirty to us? It is so dirty to us, within us, we can't even put it in place. So we have abandoned it to clowns outside, but even within us, that mentality of it being a dirty word even runs within us. So that's why we give the enemy space to run systems in our life, and we have not built the capacity to be strong enough to run things. I don't know if you are tracking me. Yes. Psalm 8, verse 3. We're just always trying to twist the word of God. We find it tough to take it for what it is. Because an enemy has come and created a system of thought around us that consistently makes us look lower than what the original design was. And anytime you begin to think in this direction, the enemy begins to tell you that you are being prideful and you are thinking of yourself bigger than how God sees you. Meanwhile, the whole essence of the entire narrative is that when I consider the heavens and the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the original. There is Elohim, as in God himself. Can we hold it there? They were just trying to be humble here. What he wrote there is that you have made him a little lower than yourself. The word there was Elohim. He said, so who is this man that you designed a system, that you visit him, that you connect with him, that you gave him the entire earth to run on your behalf? And you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have crowned this man with glory and honor. Do you live your life as if you have been crowned with glory and honor? To get a royalty mentality into the average Christian is one of the toughest things to do. Because somewhere in the back of your mind, religion has made you believe that this scripture is not in the Bible. Can we go on? You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, your God's hands. He has dominion over them. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beast of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the seas that pass through the paths of the seas. Oh Lord our God, how excellent in your name. You have done that. Go back that verse again, that previous verse. I think there is 8:8. You have made, yeah, given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have made him a little, no, as in move forward a little bit, please, if you don't mind. I think it's in 8:8 that I just wanted to show you a system. And the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and pass that which passes. This is system. This here is you have given him power over system. This is system here. Next verse. So what God did in Genesis 1, he repeated in Psalm for emphasis. And the man who downloaded it is a man who refused to live in the dimension of his time, but came ahead and lived in a dimension of their head. I digress. I was here when Pastor preached the message, and that day I literally pulled my hair out, because that was what God was saying to me at that season. If you remember that message, the time is coming and now is. The time is coming and now is. The time is coming and now is. What is that conversation? The depths and dimensions of God always are. It is those who break into the frequency that bring it now. So, Enoch broke into a dimension of understanding that I'm the son, we are the sons of God. Abraham broke into a dimension that he was having conversations and negotiating with God. David came and heard things that men do not hear. Paul came and did that. But then, if you go to the book of John, they said the whole earth is waiting for the manifestation. What do you think those other guys were doing thousands of years ago? People are broken into that code from day one. You are still the one waiting for the manifestations. So, the question is this. If they have broken into that dimension, it means that the realm of the Godhead in counsel with man has always been. You are just the one that doesn't know it exists. And you don't know it exists. Why? Because you don't understand who you are in God, and you have not been able to break through the barrier of religion and say to God, if this is what the conversation is, let's do this. I don't know if you heard what I just said. So, that realm that Christ came to model, that dimension that Christ came to reveal of the sons of God, was always the plan. If you go to what we just read. Because you crowned him with glory and honor. You visited him and you honor him. So God from day one always had the plan to co-rule this earth with God in a dimension and in a capacity that only few men have been able to break into. What Christ brought into the earth was to open the door for Jews and Gentiles, everybody to come into that realm. That was why he said, and Moses said there, he said, why are you jealous for me? I wish the Spirit of God was on all Israel. So I am not jealous that he has taken one from me and given to 70. God wants the entirety of Israel. It was Israel that said, you go, we will stay here.
Yes.
Because why? You don't know how to engage power. You don't know how to engage governance. You don't know how to come into that place of sonship. What I'm trying to say to you now is that you need to understand that as sons of God, God must rule every nook and cranny of your life. Your life is supposed to be in complete alignment with God from a place of love and from a place of confidence in God that you are who God says you are. You are the son of God and you are manifesting now. That dimension of God that God is showing you, you pull it into now and not tomorrow. So you decide not looking around you at the depth of maybe her life. Maybe she's your friend. And you're looking at our life as a yardstick of what God is calling you to. You go beyond that and say, if God is saying this to me, if God is saying that this level of intimacy is doable, if God is saying this level of engagement is doable, then I come.
Yes, sir.
Because why? You're in a community of kings who understand they've been crowned with glory and honor.
Yes, sir.
David was living in a dimension where the legal way to sacrifice to God was the blood of bulls and goats. And it was legal, and God was accepting it. And in that dimension, David wakes up and says, the blood of bulls and goats you will not take. Okay? Is something wrong with you? The accredited means to God is the blood of on ground. The operating system here is blood of bulls and goats. You now wake up and say no, that the sacrifice God wants is a concrete heart, something that was reserved for when Christ comes. One guy who lived thousands of years ago brought it to his reality and said, I live from here. What I've come to tell you today is that you are created in the dimension and the power of God. And that conversation is a governmental conversation, is a power conversation. You should never let somebody convince you that God's intention is not for you to be all that you can be in him in the 21st century. So whoever brings that thought pattern to you, that your own is too much with this your God, you know that that person is not seeing what you are seeing.
Yes.
Even if you have been born again before you.
Yes.
So again, I go to the narrative. How do you last tough times? This spirit must be in you. The mind of Christ, this thought pattern must be in you. That Christ, who did not count it that he was equal to God, but came accepting responsibility to become the Son of the Father, must come to you. You must accept the responsibility that Christ will rule over you from beginning to the end, spirit, soul, top, bottom, everything. That from the soles of your, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, God runs literally every space in your life. That the operating command structure of your life comes from the Holy Spirit. That the enemy has no space inside of you. That dominion. And he has made you a king. And you are kings and queens. And so when we build a community of kings and queens, we build the culture and the mindset that God wants us to build. That God wants us to build.